Welcome to Season 3 of Cult and Culpability. I'm T.A. Newman, your host and keeper. In a moment, we'll rejoin the Prideaux family. But first, a reminder that Chaosium's tabletop role-playing game Call of Cthulhu contains mature themes, including cosmic horror, character death, and loss of sanity. If you'd like to become a friend of the Playhouse, then please support us on Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/Miskatonic Playhouse, where you can gain access to exclusive shows and content for as little as £1. And now it's time to pull back the curtain and roll the dice. Lord Cosgrove, you find yourself walking through the town of Kingscombe, mist, red mist, coiling around the buildings, seeping under doorways, around windows, carts, horses. Everybody seems to have gone inside, not because of the mist, just because of the time of night. It's so late. But you have this figure behind you, walking just off your shoulder, and you can hear them breathing as you walk. What do you do, Cosgrove?
Well, it'd be rude not to strike up conversation with him. So, Jenkins, is it? Forgive me, I'm rather new to this enterprise. Where precisely is it that you fit into Hawthorne's little scheme?
I am one of the chosen. I am Hawthorne's man. When he needs something done, I do it.
I can see why he'd call upon you. You are, yes, quite an imposing specimen.
His daughter, Miss Lily Hawthorne, she was the one that pulled me in, indoctrinated me into this. She sees things, Lord Cosgrove.
What sorts of things?
She sees things that haven't yet happened, my lord. She sees things, and then she tells me what to do.
Well, I hope I never find myself opposite her at the card table.
Quite.
But you are clearly much more au fait with the workings of this little community. I am led to believe by your master that there are multiple reverends that we could choose from here. Now, I have decided, I suppose somewhat on a whim, to pay a visit to the Prideaux simply because I have an existing relationship with them. But it does occur to me that this may not go the way that I hope. So, I suppose it would be better to avoid disappointing your master and hedge our bets somewhat. Perhaps you could seek out the other reverend and convince him to come and meet us at the ship while I perhaps make a more diplomatic approach to the Prideaux.
You want me to go to the heart of the Sea Chapel and get Reverend Marsh whilst you go to the Prideaux?
If that's who it is, yes.
There is one. The Prideaux. Would you, my lord, be so gracious as to pass on a message?
It would be my pleasure.
It's to my my intended. Won't you tell her that I will come for her soon?
Yes, I'm sorry. Who would that intended be?
Miss Anastasia Prudhoe. She is my intended. She is going to be mine.
I'm sorry. I wasn't aware of that. My association with the Prudhoe family is more with Thomas, and he clearly has not kept me up to date with all the family news. Well, my congratulations to you both, and yes, I will be more than happy to play messenger for you.
Cosgrove, I'm going to ask for one of two roles, and you're very welcome to offer me an alternative as well, if you like.
Yes.
I feel like there is another opportunity for psychology here, but...
Mm.
There's also an intelligence role which would give you some other information. You're very welcome to counter my offer if you'd like with something of your own thought.
I think psychology sounds like quite a good one. I'll go for psychology. It's not as good as intelligence, but I think in this case I'm more interested in getting a read on Jenkins than I am on anything else, and that is an extreme success.
Oh, Cosgrove, this is why you're Lord Cosgrove and I'm Jenkins. So with an extreme success, firstly, in the way that you are speaking to him, in the manner that you are speaking to him, and when he's mentioned Miss Anastasia Prudhoe and you have said congratulations, great news, I'll pass on the message, he feels respected. You see that he feels a kinship with you. He recognizes you are his social superior, but you sense that there is almost a loyalty that seems to be bonding here between you and Jenkins. You take him seriously.
Marvellous.
But there is something with your extreme success that I'm going to give you as well, because not only do you see this monstrosity of a man before you, his eyes glowing red, this slight red mist peeling from his irises as he speaks to you, and as he speaks of Miss Prudhoe with such horrific affection, you've just seen Miss Prudhoe.
Oh, yes.
On the HMS Devonshire.
Yeah.
Jenkins seems to think that she's at Prudhoe Manor.
Oh, this was not lost on me, and I planned on using it to my advantage in the very near future.
Then this is why Mr. Scott Dorwood doesn't need an extreme success in Call of Cthulhu. Any success will do with this gentleman.
He is the extreme success.
There you go. And Jenkins, with this, you'll see him just almost kind of bow his head.
Thank you, Lord Cosgrove. Thank you.
And then he turns and he begins to run through the streets in a different direction to go and acquire the other reverend.
I'm sure that will go wonderfully. But meanwhile, I will make my way to Prudhoe House with a bit more of a spring in my step, now that I've realised that I have at least one tool at my disposal.
And what a beautiful image as Lord Cosgrove turns and the red mist swirls around him and he walks confidently through the street. Up on the horizon, Cosgrove marches ever so confidently closer to Prudhoe Manor. Thomas, in the black void, this water trickling beneath your feet, because the woman before you, hands on either side of your shoulder, is wet with seawater dripping into this what you are standing on. Ground, not ground, surface of this body of water. But she looks at you, Thomas. Her face is rotten. Her flesh is peeling, hanging, dripping. But you can see the features, Thomas. You've seen this face in a nightmare. This is your mother. And she says,
"You are like me."
Mother? No. I am not like you. I am alive. I am real. This is not.
What are you mumbling, Thomas?
Philippe, this is not real. You can't be here either. That's why it's a dream. You're dead. She's dead. I'm not here.
Can I slap him?
Absolutely. Nothing can harm me.
You only just arrive at this point, Philippe, having just caught up. But you see this rotten corpse that appears to have spent many years under the water, holding Thomas either side of his arms. Yes, you can slap him. Can you give me a brawl roll, please? And it's to dictate whether you actually hit him or not. It's in regards to, let's say, how hard, because he is still. Unless, Thomas, you'd like to dodge.
Thomas is starting to think that this isn't real. He doesn't have any need to dodge because nothing can harm him in a dream.
But this isn't real. This is a dream. Please.
Absolutely. So why dodge? Nothing can harm him.
Well, in this dream, I made an extreme success.
Oh.
Thomas, you take 1 point of damage. As not only are you slapped, but as Philippe raises his hand and makes contact with you, you feel your entire body shudder, and you actually are launched off your feet, and you glide through the air for a moment as you see your mother's head turn, following you, almost turning to the point where it shouldn't turn anymore, but then it just turns just a little bit further, and then you hit the ground. But it's not ground, Thomas. It's water.
Damn you, sir. What the blazes of... Ow!
Wake up, Thomas.
Ow!
I am real. You are real. We are both alive. And you shouldn't be... Like, don't let dead people touch you like that. That's bad.
Philippe, this woman turns towards you. And she looks at you. And she stares deeply into your eyes. Her, with her hollowed sockets, eyes rotten, mulch, and she says,
"You are like me."
"I'm nothing like you, you dead old bitch. Thomas, we need to get away." I'm gonna try to help Thomas to get up, and we're gonna try to run like away from that woman.
Okay. Thomas is in no fit state to disagree. He's not arguing at all.
Can you both give me a dexterity roll, please?
Yes, of course. Let's do that.
Yeah, that's a hard success. A 13 under 50.
Well, as you're running together, I'm going to argue that... Philippe, what did you roll?
Well, I failed.
Ah, right. And Thomas, you got a hard success.
A hard success, 13 under 50.
Well, I feel because Philippe came to pick you up, you're running together, there might be some balance here where your hard success, Thomas, is almost like a group role, is pulled down, but Philippe's failure is pulled slightly up. So you are able to get to your feet and, shall we say, stumble away rather than run away. But as you turn around and you see this woman behind you, her arms reaching out to you, Thomas, Philippe, reaching out to you, "You are like me." You're running. You turn, you run. She's in front of you.
Okay.
Jesus, this is, no, other way, right. Turn around, grab Philippe's arm, run in the opposite direction.
She's in front of you.
I'm just going to face Thomas, and I'm going to tell him, "Thomas, just remember, you need to help out Charlotte. Oh. You need to help her make the right choice. She deserves better. And I will try to run towards the woman, and I will try to tackle her down."
Okay, can you give me a brawl roll, please, Philippe?
Yeah, of course, I love that.
Thomas, as Philippe is giving you these instructions to look after Charlotte, she deserves better, and then charges at this sea-rotten woman that is your mother. What do you do, Thomas?
Thomas has been given an out, and as much as Honor says that he should help a fellow gentleman in distress, there's that part of him that self-preservation says that if Philippe has decided to sacrifice himself so that Thomas can escape, the least Thomas can do is to escape. It would be rude not to. And of course, Thomas has all intentions of helping Charlotte make the right choice, whatever that might be. I'm sure it will come up at some point, probably choosing a dress or something similar. Thomas is going to take 30 seconds, look at Philippe and says, "I'll help her with that damn choice," and run off in the opposite direction.
The gentleman as ever, the archetype of societal gentlemanly behaviour, which we've come to expect from Lord Thomas Prideaux. Philippe, can you tell me what your role was, please?
I rolled an extreme success.
And what was your intention towards this rotten woman? Was it to pin her down or was it to fight her?
No, it was to pin her down. I just want to give the opportunity for Thomas to run away and maybe escape in some way.
Yeah, okay. So, Thomas, you begin running away. You're running from this figure who seemed to appear in front of you, then in front of you, then in front of you, then in front of you. But Philippe has pinned her to the ground. Philippe, you pin her to the ground. She raises her face towards you and her teeth snap as if she's trying to bite you. Occasionally she stops and you catch a word. She keeps repeating this sentence. "You like me." And she's biting as if she's biting for your face or your neck. But you've pinned her down. You're holding her there. If you look over your shoulder, you see Thomas running away. Thomas, you run and you run and you run. And then all of a sudden, mid-run, the next step you take no longer holds its form on the surface of the water, but falls into the water, and you are submerged in the water. You take a second, your eyes blinking, looking around, shards of light in this dark water. You feel something on your leg, something that pulls on your leg. What do you do, Thomas?
Slowly looking down. Thomas would have fallen asleep in the clothes he wore in the ball. I don't think Thomas would have had the headspace to change. Which means it's very likely that Thomas fell asleep with a horse pistol tucked down the back of his trousers. Is it still there?
Can you give me a luck roll?
No. That is a 91 over 28. That's a failure. Can I spend all my luck to make that less of a failure?
I'm afraid not. No. You feel this tugging on your leg, Thomas. You reach round, looking for this horse pistol, submerged in water, almost held. I'll tell you that as you look up, you can see this light. Big white light, almost breaking through the water above you. What do you do?
Fighting to free the leg, Thomas is going to try and swim upwards.
How do you fight that leg off, Thomas? Are you brawling this? Is it contested strength roll? What would you like to do?
I think Thomas is going to try and put his other foot over. Well, gaming. Play it the dice. It's going to put his other foot on top of whatever is gripping and try and use all his strength to push it off. So I think it is a contested strength.
Okay. Could you give me a strength roll, please?
That is a 37 under 50. That is a regular success.
Ooh. Well, I rolled a 50. So you are strong enough. But Thomas, I'm going to give you something as you win this contested strength roll. This hand reaching up. It's not the hand of the woman that Philippe has pinned to allow you this escape. It's a man's hand wrapped around the heel of your shoe. And as you push off, you kick with your other shoe. You're actually kicking off your other shoe. You're launching out of your shoe, but as you look down, as you push yourself up towards the surface, you look down and you see the face of the person holding your shoe. As they say,
"Find me!"
Indeed, Thomas. It's the face of your father. And as you burst out of the top of the water, you, Thomas, wake up. But Thomas, you wake up in water.
Philippe, are you there? Philippe? And he calls out Philippe's name loudly through the house.
You're not in the house, Thomas. You are in water. You look around. You're in a lake.
Immediately, jacket probably come off. Thomas strides towards the edge of the lake, emerging as Mr. Darcy does in the Lake of Pemberley towards, well, hopefully Prideaux Manor. Do I recognise which house I'm outside?
You are outside Prideaux Manor. This is the Lake Prideaux Manor. And you march out of the water, taking clothes off as you surface onto the bank. And the light that you saw was the moon, bright. But you look down, Thomas, to the town that you can see. And there's a red mist curling around the town. But you... you fell asleep in the house and you woke up in the lake. You saw Philippe. You saw your mother. You saw your father. You're going to need to give me a sanity roll.
I think that's a very good idea. And that is a critical failure, a 99 over 27.
So you lose 6 points of sanity. And Thomas, you, for the near future, everything that you, everyone and everything is about your mother and your father. It's about them. It's about finding them. It's about finding what they're talking about, how they're talking about it. You saw Charles, these dead people, they're all dead, but they can all talk to you and you can talk to them. They're real. They're here. They're real. You believe fundamentally, absolutely, that you can commune with the dead.
And it's worth mentioning that is over one fifth of my sanity as well.
Okay.
Thomas is overwhelmed with this. He can talk with the dead. There's somebody that needs to be told about this. Because it's going to throw all of his beliefs out. Life after death and resurrection. I mean... The Reverend knows nothing about life after death. I have seen that I can talk with... I spoke with Philippe. I spoke with my mother. I saw my father there. Does that mean he's dead? And Thomas just... laughs and cries at the same time, uncertain as to his true place on the earth. Between life and death, what lies beyond the veil? He just kneels on the lawn and laughs and cries and makes a lot of noise.
Thomas, as you lie on the lawn, laughing, crying, spouting your own personal conjecture about the reality of life and death and ghosts and the ability to commune, your father's words and your mother's words echo in your head. Your mother says, "You are like me." Father says,
"Find me, Thomas, find me."
Philippe, you pin this woman down. You stop her from doing anything else, giving Thomas the chance to save your beloved. Charlotte, can you give me a contested strength roll against Philippe?
Ooh. Oh, my word. What a twist. Okay. Oh, my strength isn't great. I've got 40. So, unsurprisingly, that was a failure. That was 83 against 40.
Philippe?
Well, well, well. It was a failure as well. 89 against 60.
Okay. Well, Miss Lambeau, luck would have it, I believe, that you, in this instance, you feel Philippe, his hands pressing against your shoulders, moving across your collarbones, perhaps even moving close to your throat. And in this moment, an instinct comes upon you. And as you feel him pushing down, you smack his hands off. Tell me, Charlotte, what do you do? How do you get out of this situation?
Where am I at this point? Am I the woman?
You are you in your bed, sleeping. In my bed, and in you've my woken room. Up to your beloved apparently trying to attack you.
I think out of pure instinct, she's just going to slap him.
So many slaps. Can you give Absolutely. Me a brawl roll, please? And Philippe, please tell me, in your state of determined protecting Thomas so that he can go and protect Charlotte, is this something that you would dodge? Is this something that you would continue to kind of push through?
I think I will push through. I think that, you know, it's about if she hits, she hits, you know, but as long as I give Thomas enough time to escape, that's what I will do. So I guess brawl still to not dodge, but to try to keep her on the ground.
Yeah, okay. So could you give me a brawl roll then, please, Philippe?
Of course, I will.
Charlotte, what was your roll?
That was a horrible failure of 94 against 25.
And Philippe?
It was a horrid failure of 92 against 25.
Oh, you two, such a couple, aren't you? Honestly. So, Charlotte, we have you swinging and missing at this, bizarre version of your late husband. And Philippe, you lurch out for this rotting, disgusting woman who you can still see before you, but she seems to dodge your physical grasp. Charlotte, Philippe seems to be coming at you with a level of aggression here. Philippe, this rotted, disgusting version of the Prideaux's mother seems to be trying to escape your grasp as you try and buy Thomas time to save Charlotte. What do you two do?
Can I look around to see if Thomas is still around?
You're very welcome. Please give me a spot hidden.
It is a hard success.
Philippe, you can see that not only is Thomas gone, but as you look around, the floor is still water. It is still the surface of this body of water. But you can see the bed now. You can see the dresser and a chair. You recognize these as elements of Charlotte's room.
I will try to run towards what I think is supposed to be the wall. I feel like maybe I could slap into the wall and slap back into reality. That's what I will try to do. So I'm just going to try to run towards where the wall is supposed to be, if the furniture in the room is at the right place.
Okay. Arms out, just running at the wall.
I feel like maybe head first.
Charlotte, you see Philippe turn almost away from you and just run in the opposite direction towards the wall. Philippe, can you give me a 1d4?
Yeah, of course. I will gladly do so. 3.
You run at the wall and you crack your head into a beam so hard the sound ripples through Prideaux Manor. and you drop to the floor.
Ah, oh, bloody hell! Am I back?
You see Charlotte standing at the other side of the room, somewhat fearful of you, Philippe.
Oh, Charlotte, my dear, I'm back. I think I cracked my skull, but at least I'm back.
Philippe, what the hell were you doing?
I just saved Thomas' life.
No, you didn't save anybody's life.
Of course, Philippe, I did.
But there's only me here. You attacked me.
I pinned the dead woman on the ground, and then he was able to run away.
No, Philippe. What on earth is going on here? I think by this point she's kind of disentangled herself from the bedclothes, and she's kind of backed off into a corner, because this is not the Philippe she knows. Definitely not.
He is lying on the floor with a cut in his forehead and his brow, with blood essentially running down his face as he's kind of smiling and saying, I fought this woman off. I saved Thomas. And he does look quite unhinged, shall we say. Thomas, lying on the lawn by Prideaux Lake, outside of the manor, what do you do?
Knowing the basic floor plan of the manor, can I see which window might be the Reverend's room?
Yeah, absolutely. You've been to the manor. You've stayed there a couple of nights, even though you've stayed elsewhere, as we're aware. But you know the Reverend's window. In fact, it's the window that has a crack in it because someone threw a stone at it.
Well, Thomas is going to emulate whoever that was. And by gathering up a couple of smaller rocks on the floor, is going to try and wake the Reverend with a barrage of masonry.
Well, then if you could give me a throw roll, I'd be mightily impressed.
Ha. Who actually puts points in throw? That is a 59 over 20, which is a failure.
Thomas, with your 59 over 20, you pick up a small rock. You see the Reverend's window. It's on the second floor. And you throw your rock to tap on the window and get his attention. Thomas, you are in a frenzied state. As you throw the stone, you are babbling about talking to your father and having to find him, and you throw this stone, and it doesn't just tink on the window, it goes through the bloody window and shatters the entire thing, pouring glass into the Reverend's room, all over the floor. Reverend, I would like to ask you for a constitution roll to see if you wake up, but I fear in this instance you wake up because someone has just smashed the window in your room. Reverend.
The Reverend wakes up with a start, and he can't remember the name of his footman, let alone anybody else. He goes, and he'll just jump out of bed and see what on earth is going on, fumbling for some kind of matches or candles or some kind of thing that we probably didn't have in Regency era for lighting candles.
Could you give me a luck roll, please, Reverend?
Sure. 33 versus 44. That's a success.
Well, that's good, because that was to see whether you jumped into the glass on the floor. You do find the matches. You don't jump into the glass, but you do, very luckily, jump onto the floor, the other side of the bed, not next to the window. You do find a match. You're able to light a candle, and you're able to see where the glass is, and you see that your entire window has been shattered, and there is not a wind, but there's a breeze. What do you do, Reverend?
For heaven's sake. He's going to go to the window. He realises it's the middle of the night, and he'll just look out and try and see who's there.
You see your... oh, rather troublesome nephew.
The Reverend's heart sinks.
Thomas, in the moonlight, can you just describe what you look like to the Reverend?
A long, bedraggled, soaked, white shirt, clumping up slightly around the bottom. Pantaloons without stockings. One shoe, buckle, lost somewhere. sideburns hanging limply by the side of his face, and cravat sort of in a sort of bundle on the floor. He squelches as he walks. If this were a comedy, a frog would jump out from behind his ear and walk off, but this is cosmic horror. It doesn't quite work that way. And he is waving and hopping and shouting, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and those who hear will live. I am hearing the voices. I have communed with beyond the veil. Uncle, this is all you have spoken of."
The Reverend just looks and casts his eye out. "Master Thomas, this is hardly a time for revelation. Please conduct yourself in a manner fitting of your stature. Do come in. What are you doing? I mean, I am very pleased if you have baptized yourself tonight and you feel refreshed. But perhaps we could discuss this in the morning once I've got some sleep, young man."
"I thought you, of all men, would be intrigued to know that I have seen my father, your brother. I have seen my mother, your sister-in-law. I have seen Monsieur Lambert. Still not quite exactly sure what relation he is to us, but still. I've spoken with the dead. I have communed.
Well, come inside, Thomas. You don't need to proclaim it to everyone.
Let the world hear. I have a gift to share.
As do we all, Thomas, but really the middle of the night is not quite the time for sharing and caring. Do come in, boy. Do come in.
Reverend, can I ask, you're very welcome to make a role here in terms of Thomas's psychology, even his physical state, even just using your own intellect. Or not, you're very welcome to just run downstairs and meet him where he is, or bring him inside the house. Or go back to bed.
The Reverend is kind of wishing he had a rifle or a shotgun nearby and make that kind of roll to shoo him off the premises. He's been clearly drinking. One hopes that he has found some true delight, but it is neither the time. So he is actually going to, sadly, put a dressing gown on, open up his door, and hopefully Thomas hasn't woken any of the servants, and make his way down.
Reverend, you exit the Prideaux Manor through the front doors. You bring yourself round the side of the manor, walking on the gravel that surrounds the property before you get to the lawns. And you find Thomas Prideaux standing there, babbling, talking about ghosts, talking about his mother, your sister-in-law, his father, your brother, talking about speaking to a dead Frenchman that you can only assume is Miss Lambert's, well, past beloved. But that's not the only thing you hear, Reverend.
Mm-hmm.
You hear a voice from over your shoulder. Lord Cosgrove, what is it you say as you arrive at Prideaux Manor?
Have I arrived at an inopportune moment?
The Reverend goes, I'm sorry, and he hold the candle up.
Ah, Reverend, just the man I came to see, but this wasn't quite how I was expecting to find you.
Cosgrove. You know, you were at the party. Yes, I do believe Thomas has had a terrible reaction to the scene that we. What brings you to Prideaux Manor at this time of the night?
It might be better if we discuss this in comfort over a drink. Do you think you might be able to restore your your young nephew to some form of sense, or is he often like this at night?
I would be amiss if I were to say otherwise. Master Thomas is young and fancy free. I believe he's had played some cards with you, but shall we go inside? I shall fetch Harris with a hot poker, see if that can bring Master Thomas back to his senses. Right to this
way. I hope you aren't planning on reenacting the death of Edward II.
One does feel like it sometimes. This way, your good grace.
The Reverend, as you usher Lord Cosgrove inside to a drink and a chat, Thomas, I believe a reputation roll has been coming your way for some time.
Oh, really? I didn't see that one coming. That is a success, a 31 versus 55.
Oh, come on, penalty die ref, penalty die ref.
Okay, yeah, I think in terms of your bout of insanity as well, and the fact that you've not just been spotted by the Reverend or any member of your family or immediate tribe, shall we say, but by someone who we might consider to be a social enemy or rival. So, yeah, I'd like you to give me a penalty die, please.
And that is a 91 versus 55. That is a distinctive failure.
That is where Thomas belongs this night. That is a 1d4 to your reputation, Thomas. Oof, 3 points of reputation. Long may they avoid your horrific behavioural needs. But, Lord Cosgrove, you find yourself being brought into Prideaux Manor for the first time. You've known the Prideaux, but you knew Thomas back at Shepford Manor, back in Hampshire. The fact that Thomas's family have their own manor here in Kingscombe, they are established, they are wealthy, they are prominent in society here. And you have the Reverend in his dressing gown and nightcap bringing you in for a drink. And you see just how rather well-established the Prideaux family is here in Kingscombe.
Jolly kind of you to visit us. I wish it was under better circumstances.
As do we all, but these are trying times.
Are you good in yourself after the terrible, terrible scenes at the ball? I mean, goodness me, I had no idea what we were going to face that evening. Are you quite well, Lord Cosgrove?
Nothing that a good sherry wouldn't be able to help with.
Indeed, a man after my own taste. He will ring the bell for the night porter or the night maid, whoever is available.
It doesn't take long before a young gentleman appears. Sir?
I'm very sorry to disturb you. Seems our night isn't quite over just yet. Could you fetch the good sherry, the Christmas sherry? And perhaps, do you have some kind of... if you wanted to make someone sick, what would you give them?
So my mother always said you should drink some olive oil if you wanted to be sick.
Olive oil, fantastic. Yes, a shot of olive oil for Master Thomas, and perhaps some kind of sheet or a towel. He might be rather warm.
Very good, sir. Should I have my Lord Prideaux brought here, sir?
Yes, if you wouldn't mind, and yes, about discretion, if you wouldn't mind, young man.
Very good, sir. And the Christmas sherry.
Yes, it's a special occasion.
Very good, sir. And the gentleman runs off.
But yes, you must forgive me for calling on you at this unusual hour. But matters are pressing. And I assume by the disturbance here that you are at least somewhat aware of what is happening in Kingscombe at the moment.
Oh, goodness me, Lord Cosgrove, if I could tell you the tale. I would be here all night. Master Thomas has been kidnapped by some fiend called Jenkins. We have had Miss Lambert, who turns out to be related to one of the families here, fall ill after discovering some kind of creature's skull. And, well, we've actually seen the walking and talking. And we have Hawthorne and Dunn at the centre of these things. Well, you heard him tonight, I mean, threatening to become some kind of god and everything. And of course, we only know this one god above us all. And whatever he's meddling with here, well, you don't have to be a religious person to know that these are supernatural forces, best left alone by man. So,
yes, but whether or not it's wise to leave such forces alone is irrelevant at the moment, because Lord Hawthorne is very much not leaving these forces alone. He is embracing them with enthusiasm.
And I fear he will bring destruction upon us all. I think Lord Matthew Prideaux, who I've come to believe, can you believe this? Who was quite advanced in his years. May I imagine if he had been over a century old before he was... And he looks both ways and says, rumour has it he was done away with by Hawthorne and Dunn. But that is only a vicious rumour. I have yet to get to the bottom of this. And I fear he was the linchpin, the keeping it all together. With him out of the way, they've accelerated their plans for this. Well, I believe there is some sort of creature that is to be born and bring destruction upon us all.
Oh, not upon everyone.
Oh, yes, of course. What did you call them? Disciples? I could quote you a million Bible verses about angels appearing to men, when in actual fact they are the forces of evil. And, well, I feel I am being called upon. And I don't mind admitting, one gentry to another, sometimes it is very difficult to know what to do.
Could I ask the Reverend and Lord Cosgrove to just give me a quick listen roll, please?
That is a failure by the Reverend, 89 versus 20. He is postulating.
Too wrapped up in the conversation.
On the other hand, that is an ordinary success for Lord Cosgrove.
Lord Cosgrove, with your keen ears and your ability to hear always what's going on beyond the conversation you're having, should it provide valuable to you, you hear footsteps and then they stop. And you hear the sound of someone going, "Very good, sir. Let it out, sir. Very good. Very good. Yes, there you are, sir. There you are." As you continue your conversation, you hear Thomas Prideaux removing certain substances from his body via the use of olive oil.
I believe your nephew may be joining us soon.
As I say, you have to excuse him. I did say this fiend Jenkins is his name, kidnapped him. Put him through quite some rigors. I believe he was exposed to some addictive substance. He has that feeling. Not that I would assume a good self as you is aware of opium dens, but you know, the people that you might find outside, one in my profession has had to tend to, so poor Thomas, but he's still the old Thomas underneath all of that, and still needs to do, well, between you and me, quite a bit of growing up to do. Maybe this will make the man of him.
Yes.
And as the Reverend says that, I think Thomas is going to stumble into the room. Not noticing Cosgrove initially, just looking directly at the Reverend and saying, "Uncle, I suppose that foul substance was your suggestion."
young Master Prideaux.
Cosgrove.
Look who's come to visit. Is Lord Cosgrove.
Cosgrove, you here? Yes, how pleasant. Uncle?
Thomas, you are still rather excited, even though shocked, about the idea of, well, turning the conversation to talking with those who are no longer with us.
Uncle, this is most
exciting to have Lord Cosgrove here. I cannot express my pure delight. But if we could continue the conversation we were having on the lawn, I believe that I have a gift. I have been able to commune with those who are no longer with us. I have seen and spoken to them, Uncle. Think of where this puts your religion. Think of what this means. I could find our father.
Yes, you mentioned that. With everything going on, Thomas, Miss Anastasia mentioned dreams. Are you quite sure it was your father?
Are you saying that I would not recognize the patriarch of this family? Are you saying that I would not recognize the voice? It was him, sir. It was him.
Thomas, please do not tantalize me with news of my brother. If this is merely an imagination of your dreams, did he say anything? Did he do anything? Was he with anyone? Did he give any idea? Maybe your subconscious is bringing up some clue we have yet to discover. You'll have to excuse us, Lord Cosgrove. This is how it all started. My brother went missing, and we inherited everything.
I quite understand, but I think as with young Lord Prudhoe's earlier indulgence this evening, perhaps whatever is on his mind is best expelled from his system to improve his constitution. Please carry on, young man.
Earlier indulgences, sir? What are you insinuating, sir?
Let's get to the point. We have a guest. Please don't keep the man waiting.
My father, yes, he was underwater. He was below the water. He was trying to get out. He told me to find him.
Thomas, as you're rambling about your father and your father saying to you, find me, find me, find me, can you just give me an intelligence roll, please?
That is an extreme success, an 11 under 65.
Well, Thomas, it's difficult because you're talking about the dead and communion with the dead, and obviously earlier this evening at the Rabbit's Ball, so many dead, but so many things happened at the Rabbit's Ball, one of which was you calling out Cosgrove in front of Hawthorne, in front of your family, in front of everybody, and he ignored you. He watched you as you stumbled in blood and fell to the ground and embarrassed yourself in front of everybody. And now he's here in your house, in your study, drinking your Christmas sherry.
The Christmas sherry? In May?
Well, if there was ever an insult, Thomas.
I can understand the loan sharking, sir. I can tolerate the dismissive attitude you have towards those you do not view as equals. I can even comprehend your insinuation that I may enjoy a tipple. But your presence here, your lack of aid, we are equals, sir. We are of the higher set. We stand together, sir. You're leaving us to wallow in blood on the ballroom of Dun Manor, sir, was an insult, sir. And damn my eyes, sir, satisfaction will be had.
Oh, Thomas, calm down, will you please?
And Thomas,
yeah,
will pick up the nearest glove and try and hit Cosgrove. Unfortunately, there are no gloves around. So I think Thomas will pick up the damp cravat that's pooled around his neck, pull it off, and give him a rather pathetic wet slap across the face.
This is a challenge, I believe.
This is a challenge.
Then, Cosgrove, is this something that you try to dodge, avoid?
I think I do, because, yes, this is not something I have the time or the will to deal with at the moment, so yes, I...
Absolutely. Please give us a dodge roll.
Oh, Against the odds, yes, I do.
And how do you dodge this? Is it moving out of the way, or do you grab his wrist and stop him, Lord Cosgrove? What is it you do?
I think what I do is I'm sitting there just drinking this sherry, and obviously young Thomas is a bit highly wrought at the moment and is waving this wet cravat around. I think what I do is just lean back in my chair and just let it pass in front of my face, almost as if I didn't realise it was there. And then take a sip of my sherry and say, young Lord Prideaux, before you get too carried away, you also seem to be very interested in your father's affairs from beyond the grave. How would you like to have the opportunity to settle them?
Do not think that you can talk your way out of this, Cosgrove. Say your piece, and then...
And then we'd be very glad if you would stay the night, if you would be so kind as to honour us with your presence, Lord Cosgrove, unless you have made other arrangements.
I'm afraid there may not be the time, because...
Oh, goodness.
Events are in motion that affect, well, all of us. And I don't think many of us will be sleeping tonight. But I would just like to answer your young nephew's question there. Your uncle, Thomas, leads me to understand that your father was perhaps murdered by his associates. Is that right?
That is our understanding, sir, yes.
Then, if you are in contact with him, and he is in a position to provide you with any further information and support, then I would wholeheartedly encourage you to try to make whatever contact it is that you were planning on making contact with, because I think events are afoot tonight that will require every bit of support we can get from this side of the grave or the other.
Thomas, as Lord Cosgrove says this, your eyes stare at him, you burn into him. But you can't help but let them rise at the man standing behind his chair, leaning against the arms. It's your father, and he looks at you, Thomas. And when he speaks, you hear his voice next to your ear.
Find me, Thomas. I can stop them.
Thank you for joining us for Cult and Culpability. Remember, you can find us at www.miskatonicplayhouse.com, and you can also visit the main stage for other scenarios from the Miskatonic Playhouse, with links in the show notes below. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our channel and support us on Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/Miskatonic Playhouse, where you can access exclusive shows and content for as little as £1. But if you can spare a minute to leave a review, it makes a huge difference to other like-minded listeners who will be able to find and enjoy our work. Until next time, when the curtain rises again.